We cry, worthy is the Lamb of God. We cry, worthy. We cry, worthy. We cry, worthy is the Lamb of God.
Good morning. How we doing today? We're going to go ahead and get our morning started off. I've got just a few announcements, but before we get into that, I'll ask some to come up for the offering. And if you don't mind, I'm going to ask Sister Tiffany to say a prayer over our offering today. We are starting a pastor's new sermon series today for the Recenter. And this week, starting on Monday, our groups will begin. And the Wednesday night group on how to study the Bible is going to be more of an open plan group where anybody that feels led can be there. You're more than welcome. We're not putting a cap on that. But as far as the groups go, I'm going to turn that over to Brother Teddy Fry, and he's got some stuff to go on with that.
I ain't going to be long, I promise. Not here to give no speeches or nothing like that. But just briefly, we're not going to take a lot of time, but we just want you to know that everybody is welcome. Everybody here at the church, if you have a friend, a neighbor, family member, someone you know, you work with, whatever, if they would like to be a part of groups here at the church, there's no mandate for membership to do it. There's no mandate to even come here. Groups are ministry. Groups simply are discipleship. It's doing our best to be kingdom-minded and build the kingdom of God. How many people know that, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, Brother Jeremiah, I've got lost loved ones. I want to see saved. Anybody else here got lost loved ones you need to see saved? Amen. So, you know, it's not just about just our church, as we know. It's about the kingdom of God, and there'll be people that can reach my children that don't go to this church. So we want to do our best to make everybody know they're welcome to come, and I'll be doing one I'll be doing two. One of them on Wednesday is already full, but one on Monday is what's next, and it's about seasons and things of that nature. If you're interested, just see me. But I'm going to have these individuals. They just so happen to be four lovely ladies. I'm going to share with you just briefly, just 1 or 2 minutes of what their group is, okay? And just to let you know that you're welcome and what to expect. Leanne.
Good morning. My name's Leanne. I host the prayer walking group for women. Sorry, fellas, just women on Tuesday nights at 6:30. It's real simple. We come in, we do a little bit of socialization, we have prayer requests, and then we turn on some worship music, and we just walk around the sanctuary for an hour. We're getting healthy, our bodies and our spirits. Because here's the thing, if we're not healthy, how can our families be healthy? If we don't ground ourselves in prayer, how can we expect our families to ground themselves in prayer? How can we expect to see our lost saved? How can we expect the healings? We can't. We've got to pray. And so this is what we do. We come in and we pray and we walk and we lift up the Lord. That way He can bless us in return. We're obedient and we're faithful. So if you're interested, come see me. Message me however you want. I'm good with any of it.
Thank you. Okay. My group's on Thursday at 6 o'clock. It is God's Promises for Your Every Need. This is not a book that you would read, but rather a reference guide. It's a small collection of scriptures that supports God's promises for our every need. And so God gives us everything we need in His Word. And so we have to believe that we either don't know or we don't believe it. And so what this group's going to do is we're going to explore God's promises and how we can stand on God's promises to live the life that He's planned for us. Oh, and so reach out to me. I'll have a book for everyone. So if you want to be a part of this group, just let me know and I'll have a book ready for you. It's Thursday at 6 and we meet in the small sanctuary.
Y'all probably wonder, how come I got a group? Well, Teddy D messaged me, and he was like, hey, I think you should do a group. You should pray about it. And I thought, well, okay. So then I prayed about it, and I was like, well, how about this night? Oh, no, that night's not open. What about this night? No, that, well, we have this night open, so guess what? We have Friday nights. So we are just doing, like, a chilled, laid-back type of 31 Proverbs woman. That you just kind of have like your group of people. You have your people. It's been a long day. You just kind of need to have your people that you rely on. You will do like baking and all kinds of stuff like that. But we're just kind of like going to look into like the virtues of what the 31 Proverbs woman does, and just kind of figure out like how it's different from before to how it is now. That you guys can always come. We'll have lots of food.
I'm Tara Fry, and me and my daughter-in-law, Maddie, are going to be leading a group called Mommy, Me, and Jesus. It's a group for young mothers to meet. We're going to be meeting on Saturdays at 11 a.m., and it's a group for young moms to meet, to connect with other mothers. I watch as Maddie's, you know, going through this process, a process I went through many years ago, and you come to find out that when you become a mother, you become very isolated sometimes, because your central focus is on your children and only your children, really. And as I watch this, I see that other people were going through this, and I really just wanted to give everybody kind of like a platform to meet, so the mothers can just talk about things that they're going through, just talk about things that, you know, they're wondering about or something. A lot of people use the Facebook platform, but this is more of a personal platform to where you can really get some good information. And for me as a grandmother, it's to get the kids together to help them learn how to play together, because kids today are almost as isolated as the parents today. I want to give them a safe place to play, but all in all, mothers, children, it's all to be centered around Jesus. So if you are interested, if you know a mother who might be interested, just shoot us a message. We have like a registration, online registration form, and we'll set you up. Thank you.
Please give them all a hand. Thank you. Now, that being said, you know a little bit about that, and we just want to encourage you just to try one. Pretty broad thing. There'll be Bible scriptures, devotionals, and things like that on every group. Me and Pastor are probably be prone to more toward the Bible study thing, but I'm kind of different off a little bit on Monday nights. It'll be a little bit different. What's next? You can see up there now. If you're interested, just see me. We will be up here at the altar when the service ends. If you're interested, just come up and talk to us, okay? If you want to sign up then, that's fine. We're going to hang around just a little bit, okay? But now, that being said, after that encouragement and stuff like that, I want you all to stand to your feet. And before I get out of here, I do want to get out of here. I've talked enough this morning between teaching and this, but the Lord spoke to me this morning, put something in my spirit, and I want to be obedient. How many of you folks love Jesus? Amen. How many of you know that he's good? How many of you can absolutely say that you can't make it without him? Amen. I've went through life and I've tried to do it, Ray, on my own, and I make a mess of everything every time I try that. But how many of you know that his presence is so special? To be able to come here together with one another. You know, I remember COVID. We couldn't even get out of the houses. We couldn't come to church. You know, we're blessed to be able to come here this morning. The snow's flying a little bit. It's a little bit cold outside, but we're warm in here, and we're able to come together and worship the Lord in spirit and truth. It's an honor. So this morning, as the choir leads us in worship and praise, what the Lord put on my heart is, I'm going to ask, not tell, it's your own free will, but if God has been good to you this week, if God has brought you through the fire, if God's been the fourth man in the fire with you, I'm going to ask you to come up around this altar as they start to sing and let us worship up front here this morning. And let's allow the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. He died on a cross for our sins. He rose from the grave the third day. And he's sitting at the right hand of Father. And Brother Tommy, he is so worthy to be praised. I thank you for always being there for me. Proudest thing I've ever done, Brother John, is to give my heart and life to Jesus. The proudest thing I am is a Christian. I couldn't make it without him. I love the Lord with everything in my heart. And I'm going to ask each of you to come up around this altar if you can. And let's worship the Lord this morning in spirit and truth.
Oh, shame is a prison as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name. Oh, love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is the power when my freedom song is found. There ain't no a war between death and life. There on the tree, the Lamb of God was crucified. And he went on down to hell. He took back every key. Of our praise, worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King.
You walked out of the grave, I will walk in too. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. Oh, if you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
Cross. You called me by name. You loved me like I was, but you didn't leave me that way. But instead now I live. Yeah, that's what you did. And you've been so, 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 so good to me. And you've been so, 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 so good.
God is good. You say
all the time.
When I say all the time, you say
God is good.
When I say God is good, you say
all the time.
When I say all the time, you say
God is good.
When I say God is good, you say
all the time.
When I say all the time, you say
God is good.
When I say God is good, you say
all the time. So, so good to me.
And you've been
so, 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 so good to me. From morning to night, the lows and the highs, I look back on my life and all that I see. From morning to night, the lows and the highs,
him to die, I scarce can tell.
take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God's to thee. How
Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. Turn to two or three people and say, God is good. Amen. Appreciate the choir for leading us into worship this morning and a wonderful job they done. And super excited about today and the weeks ahead with our groups launching and the things that's going on. And I reserved my, I guess, introduction for my group there until the beginning of the message here, so I wouldn't be limited by time. I'm kidding. But I was thinking as the ladies came and we asked them to be brief, so they couldn't probably really go into everything they wanted to say, but we had a meeting with all the group leaders last Wednesday, and man, if we could have bottled that passion that we saw that night and sort of give that in an advertisement, what a difference that would make, I think, in the way that we see these groups and see what it means when they're crying and they're shedding tears and they're telling you how, or sharing testimonies about somebody just needed a space to be, and we provided that, and the passion that we see in those group trainings whenever they're sharing what they're doing about their group. And I asked Kelly, I was kidding or something on the way home, and I said, could you tell I had passion for mine? And she laughed or whatever, you know, and she said, yeah. She said, you always got passion for that. And so mine is how to study the Bible. And I wanted to clarify something because I know a few of them said, well, I've done that one before. This one's totally different. And this one's totally different because it's all me. I think before we sort of went out of a book that somebody wrote, How to Study the Bible, and sort of I thought it was a good book. But this is totally built from just me, and, you know, it's a curriculum that I built, and I takes the test. Now, how long are we going? He said 8 weeks. I said, shoot, I got to squoosh this into 8 weeks. I had 12 weeks to squoosh into eight there, but I got it done. And so that's what we're going to be about on Wednesday nights here. And we'll sort of maybe tie that into the message here this morning as we get going a little bit. But as we said, it's sort of the open group. You can come and go as you wish. Or if you show up, you know, got a Wednesday, you think, well, I'll go and see what's going on. Every week you come will sort of be a standalone, if you will, teaching. But there is a process to it in a way. And I won't go over everything that we're going to go through the week. But I will say this, that how many of you know that when you are dealt a situation or you're looking at a situation, you're dropped into something, no matter what it is, you see that thing usually how you are, not how it is. You know how it is. Every time you get into a situation, you see that as you are, not how things really are. And I think a lot of times when we read the Scripture, we see the Scripture as we are, not as the Scripture is. But how many of you know that Scripture does not change, right? And it was written for us, not necessarily to us. And so we're going to talk about some things and open our eyes. And I told Kelly, Vicki texted me about the group, said, I'm, you know, if it's something different I'm in. I said, well, this one will challenge you, because I'm not asking you to change the way that the things you see in Scripture, but I will be offering other things to open your eyes to maybe what the Scripture really means in context that doesn't cheapen the verse. And one instance that we'll use, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, we'll learn this in my group later on, but how many of you know two or three are gathered together and I'll be there, right? That verse of Scripture, we use that for when the crowd's low. You know, that's the verse we use whenever it's the snow hit maybe about an hour earlier than what it did today and the crowd's down. And there's nothing wrong with using it there, but if you use it in context, the way that Jesus said it, he talked about when the church gets ready to sort of pronounce a judgment and make some decisions, he's saying this, if two or three of you agree on it, I'm with you. And so what that verse is really all about is the authority that the church has whenever decisions are made. Jesus is saying, I'm there with you making those. Listen, if we want to, and I do too, if we use it for two or three gathered together, he's here, that's fine. But don't stop there and cheapen that verse. It's actually about the authority of Christ and his church. And so that's sort of what we're going to look at, is those things that we maybe don't see in Scripture because we don't understand the language or what's written. One more example, then we'll move on here. Emily texted yesterday and said, Romans chapter 9, can I get your notes? You know, and I called her. I said, when I teach through Romans, I don't use notes. Because if I use notes, we would never get through Romans 9 or Romans 1. So when I teach through a particular book, I don't really use notes as much as outlines. I said, I got an outline I can give you. And we started talking about predestination and some of those things that's harder to understand. And she said, you know, like when Jesus said that about the son of perdition, that it was better that he would never been born. She said, that's hard. I said, you're absolutely right. That's a hard place in Scripture. But when you understand that was just an illustration or a saying, and I told her, I said, has anybody ever said, boy, I laughed till I died? I said, did they really die? No, it was just a way of getting across the fact that they laughed and laughed and laughed. And I said, so when Jesus said it was better for that guy to not be born, all he was saying was his fate is really bad. He's probably going to wish he'd never been born. Wasn't Jesus saying that's the case? He's saying That's the example given here. He's sort of using an exaggeration. And so if we understand those, maybe we understand the scripture better, and maybe, just maybe, we don't get let down sometimes when we read the scripture and things don't turn out like we think they should. If we understood the scripture a little bit better, maybe we understand that the fault is not the scripture, it's our interpretation of it. So, that's my discourse. I got an extra 2 minutes there. But that's what we're going to go into on Wednesday nights. You know, I've said 1,000 times, if you catch a man a fish, you feed him for a day, but if you teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. And so that's what I want to do, is teach people how to read and understand the scripture as it's written. That being said, because many times, even like with the sermon that we're going to do today, the message that we're going to do today, as I said, we'll see things as we are, not as they are. And we'll use things like gut feeling, or I had this sense. Read a story about an explorer back in the early 1900s who was trying to explore way up in Canada. Hubbard was his last name. He was a really good explorer, knew how to use a compass, was really good at what he'd done, but he had never went that far north before. And so he's way up north. He's using his compass, and he comes up to this fork in the river. There's a decision to be made. Do I go left or do I go right? The story says that he checked his compass. The needle said go one way, but he had a gut feeling. And he said, I'm going to go with my gut, and we're going to go to the right. What he didn't realize was the farther you go north, the more declination, I believe it's called, is how the compass gets off. And you have to recalibrate. The farther north you go, the more the north pole gets off, and you got to recalibrate that compass. He had never been in this situation before, so he didn't realize all this was going on, and so he followed his gut. He doesn't know exactly where to go, and so he follows his gut. Long story short, they found him starved to death a couple months after that. And I guess the moral of that story is, you can't always trust your gut. Y'all with me? You ever had, whether it's the Spirit of God or whatever, just wisdom, be able to give you an insight to a situation, and somebody's talking and they say, well, I got this feeling. And they share with you that feeling, and you just know, according to Scripture, made the Spirit of God or whatever, that feeling is not probably their best option. Now, I'm bad not to say anything, because I don't want to make lie to somebody else's feelings or their gut feelings or their instincts, but at the same time, there's some things that are said and you think, that could be gas. You know what I'm saying? Like that thing you're feeling there, don't get so fuzzy about it, because it may be something else other than this gut feeling of this is right. You need to sort of test that thing out. Try it out against your wisdom, against Scripture, because what you're feeling may not be right. And so we're going to talk about recentering, and we talked about that when I introduced it, how I get turned around in the parking lot, and it don't know where I'm at, my GPS, and I come to get ready to go out of that parking lot, and that GPS takes a minute, and it says recentering. That's its way of saying, you big dummy, you done turned me around and around and around, went this way, that way, this way, and now I don't know where I'm at. Give me a second before you pull out on the road, because I've got to recenter you and find out where you're at. Sometimes in life, we got to stop and just get recentered, okay? So if you have your Bibles, you want to turn with us. We're going to read one verse of Scripture here. It's found in Psalms chapter 37, verse 4. If you would, stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read one verse of Scripture. Introduce this thing and then hit it. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You can be seated if you wish. Now, we'll get into this verse a little bit later on and exactly what all it means, but I want to reiterate the fact here that a lot of times when you and I need recentering, when we've lost our way, when we're trying to figure out where we need to go, too many times I feel like we rely on some kind of internal compass on the inside of us instead of what God gave us as a true north or a true place to refer back to. And we can say that's the Spirit. We can say that's the Scripture. That's God's wisdom and leading and guiding. It's all those things in combination. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But I want you to understand that the worst thing you can do, if you tune me out after this, if you say it's already 11:30 or whatever and you're ready to check out, that's fine. But listen to me right here before you check out. If there's one thing that you don't need to do when there's time to make a recentering in your life or making a heavy decision, is follow your heart. I know that's contrary to what you're taught and what you believe and all these things on these warm, fuzzy Hallmark movies and all that stuff. Well, just follow your heart. Trust your heart. Listen, your heart is probably the worst thing that you can follow whenever it comes time to make a heavy decision, insomuch that Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says this: the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Does that sound like something you want to follow when you need to make a decision? Y'all quiet. Y'all been following your heart? I'm busting some bubbles, ain't I? Do not follow your heart. The Bible makes it plain. You can't follow your heart because it's got that deviation in it. It's got that thing that sort of drifts one way or the other. And so you'll see things as you are, not as they are, because you want something to be true so bad, you'll start seeing that as truth, and your heart starts drifting that way. But the fact of the matter is, you're off on your calculations because your heart has drifted because of experience, because of things that you see, maybe the people involved. You get this idea and you start changing what you base your life off of from something that is fixed, like the Word of God, to the things that change. And what changes is us and our heart and our mind, and things will shift and change and move through our lives, and we shift and change and move with them, when the fact of the matter is we need to find true north, and that is the Word of God and everything that He says that we know is true, and understand that if we do anything other than believe in those things and allow those to be our true north, we could find ourselves in the wilderness one day, starving to death. Apostle Paul sort of understood this when he said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, since you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Set your minds on things that are above and not on earthly things. If you set your mind on things down here, you're going to get knocked off course. You're going to do this math problem in your head and something's going to make sense and you're going to go, that must be what I need to do, when really it's not what you need to do and you're following your heart and your own logical thinking, when the Bible says do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. I'll share a personal instance here, and most of you know this. Been, you know, several years back and forth, this and that. I it's just the greatest example I've got. I hate to bring it up, but it's just the greatest example I've got. At one time here, not long ago, I'd done made up my mind at the certain point where I needed to, for it was best for the church, I was just going to leave. I was going to step down. Somebody else needed to do it because we've went as far as we got. What else can I do? I've been here 18 or 19 years or whatever it is, close to 20 years. What else can I do? It's time for me to get out of the way. I done the math. Everything made sense for me to get out of the way. Attendance is declining. Things are not happening, blah, blah, blah. I'm losing passion. We just need to cut ties here, try to do what's best for the church, and move on. God had a different plan. God would not allow me to do that. That's me trying to use my compass and make up all these things in my head and put them together and say, this has got to be the solution, when in actuality, God is saying, just be still. And now we see the church alive again and growing and doing great, and it's all because God had a plan. But if I would have frustrated that plan and leaned on my own understanding, I don't know where I'd be, don't know where you would be, but you understand that in times of your life, when things come in and you start making decisions, the worst thing you can do is do the math on your own and say, this has to be the solution, because sometimes God is going to do something greater than you could ever think, ever imagine. As a matter of fact, the Bible says His ways are above ours as the heavens is above the earth. His ways are not our ways. And sometimes we need His way to show us the way. better trust that true north and not your own feelings. One of the ways that we can do that, and we'll get into this a little bit more as we go, is the Word of God. Psalms 119 says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." This is not some kind of suggestion. This is not a, well, I've done everything I know to do. Let's see what the Bible says about it. This is, let's refer to the Scripture first, Joe, and see what it says so that it can direct our paths. Because in the world that we live in, our identity is being shaped by so many different things. Maybe there's it's the winds of life, if you want to say it that way. There's expectations and maybe people around you that they put on you, social media expectations, all these other things that we draw up in our mind. And so we got this expectation of what our identity should be. And in reality, the Scripture is plain in what we need to do. And sometimes those winds will come in and make us drift from one thing to the next, and expectations make us lose our true north. The Puritans, I don't know how many of you, that's a weird one. I'd imagine, let me see the hands here for sincerity. I just want to know this. How many of you read after the Puritans? Couple? Three? If you don't read after the Puritans, you're missing a lot. I love reading after the Puritans. Now listen, they were, you know, in some ways, but in a lot of ways, they knew exactly what they were talking about. They called this spiritual wandering. In other words, you didn't know where you was at. You were just wandering around hoping you got where God wanted you to be. Have you ever felt like you were just floating around hoping, you know, trying to figure it out in your own mind? You're in this situation and you don't know what to do. This is often because we lose fervency. We lose where we're at. We try to manufacture some kind of identity in doing something instead of being someone. Y'all with me? We think we got to do this or do that or be here, be there, blah, blah. All those things, when really your identity is found in Christ. Did you know that? If you're not finding your identity in Christ, then you're off course to begin with. And that's the anchor of our soul. Hebrews chapter 16 says we got a hope as an anchor for our soul. So this identity tells us why we are created. We're not defined by our past failures and things that have went on, but we are defined by our identity in Christ. And in doing that, we, as the psalmist says, should delight in the Lord, and He would give us the desires of our heart. Now that I've laid the foundation, I want to preach a minute. A lot of times we use that verse of Scripture as a blank check. We delight ourselves in the Lord. Let's see what that means. If we get up and force ourselves to pray an hour every morning, we do this devotion, we come to church, we give, it's a checklist. We do this, 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 and this. God's going to give me the desires of my heart, and I'm going to have that boat with a lake house. Right? That's the way we use that verse. Man, if I check this list off, I'll get all these things that I want. Not the way it works, my friend. You're drifting off. You're depending on what your heart wants. It's not the way it works. If you delight in the Lord, He adjusts your delights to match up with His will. Are y'all with me? Emily texts me about on Christmas and she'll say, "What do you want for Christmas?" I'll say, a cabin in the woods by a stream. That's what I want. Can't do that, just keep your Christmas gift, because that's what I want. And the fact of the matter is, if we gave in to those desires, a lot of us would find ourselves isolated and alienated from everybody. But we got to understand that that doesn't mean that's a blank check to get what we want. That means if you'll allow Him to become your true north, He'll align you with Him. And all those things that you feel or all those things that you think will sort of go by the wayside. And the word for delight there, and I, you know, study the Hebrew a lot, it actually means to soften up, to sort of be pliable. So when it says delight yourself in the Lord, it says, it's literally saying be pliable here. Soften up to the things of God. Be pliable. Don't be rigid in your thinking, but have yourself in a way that you're able to change. Let me tell you this, if you get down to pray about a situation and you done made up your mind about that situation, can I give you a hint? Don't pray about that situation. If you've already made your mind up about it, if you get ready to study a scripture in the Bible and you've already made up in your mind what that scripture means and how it applies to you, don't study that scripture. If you get down and you get ready to get sincere with God, but it's that you're going to convince Him of your gut feeling, just save your time, because God does not care about your gut feeling. And I don't mean that mean. But that's the true north that does not change. And so if we recenter, that means this. We're willing to change and move, because God is not moving. God is unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if anything changes, it's got to be you and I. See, He does not change. He's the same. We've got to do the recentering. And when we understand that it's just not a thing where we're going to sit down and tell God everything and He's going to do what we want, but we're going to allow the Spirit of God to change us and mold us and shape us into who He is, who He wants us to be, then we'll understand that a little bit better. You know, the Bible, there in Psalms chapter 37, talking about context, the very first verse says, don't fret yourself. You'd think Andy Griffith wrote that. Fret not thyself. Like Andy Griffin meets King James, ain't it? Fret not thyself. That word fretting there is all the other voices that come in when you're trying to find true north. Because I tell you what messes true north up in a compass is anything that's metal that's around it. So the more metal stuff you got around it, the more that needle is drawn from the North Pole and gets off base. So anything around that compass that is a magnet, it'll shift that magnet some. Can I tell you that the metal, if you will, in our life that makes our compass shift from time to time is all the outside noise that we hear. When you're into the Scripture and you know what it says, you know exactly what it says, and you've prayed about it, and then somebody comes along and says, well, are y'all with me? Or maybe you're trying to faith believe in healing. And listen, everybody's got their own opinion, and I don't want to go down this rabbit hole too far. Maybe you set your mind on healing, and the doctor comes in and gives you the worst news that you could ever hear. You know what that is? That's noise. That's another magnet that's drawing you away from what you understand to be the truth of God. Anything that makes noise that interferes with what God says for our lives, that's that local distraction that we hear, and our meter starts moving a little bit. Our compass gets off a little bit. One of the Puritan writers, Jeremiah Burroughs, he said this. I love this. Fretting is more than just stress. See, when we hear fret, we think stress. He said it's more than just stress. It's murmuring against God's providence. So when you're complaining, let me break it down to you this way, make it practical, maybe make you laugh. How many loves to be around a complainer? Let me see your hand. You love to be around a complainer? Nobody likes to be around a complainer, do they? I don't know if Bernard knows who I'm talking about here. I hope I don't tell on myself, but there was an old guy, Bruno, when he was growing up, even as young kids, we had this sort of running joke. We'd always ask him how he was. And listen, we were young and mean. We didn't care how he was. We just knew he was going to have this list. Because he was one of those guys. How you doing? Well. And then it's like he's got this list in his mind about 14 things that he wants to run through that's wrong with him. And then we just walk off and laugh and say, see, I told you. You know what I mean? Like nobody wants to be around a complainer all the time. So we think when we complain and God gets upset, God just don't want us complaining. No, what God is saying is, you're complaining, and in your complaining, you're saying this, I'm not enough. You're saying, I don't know what's best. If you are where you are and you're following me, your murmuring is telling me this, you're just like the Israelites. What'd you do? Bring us out here to starve us to death? What'd you do? Bring us out here so that we would die of thirst? When you're murmuring, you're telling God His providence is not good enough for your life, and you're complaining about your situation instead of saying, God, I may not understand, but I know this. In all ways, I'm going to acknowledge you, and you're going to drink my past. And even if it don't make sense, I know this. You are going to be able to step with me every step of the way because you said you'd never leave me. You'd never forsake me. You go with me all the way, even to the end of the world. Give Him a hand clap of praise. The Bible says that if we delight in the Lord, we find that true north and recenter, He will give us the desires of our heart. Here's a little more of that Bible study stuff. That word give, that Jewish word give, if you look at it in the Hebrew, it's, and I forget what they call those things. I actually made a note of that. Can't remember what they call that. A palindrome, you don't know what that is? That's like my mom's name, Anna. It's spelled A-N-N-A, and if you turn it around, it's spelled A-N-N-A. That's a palindrome. That word give there in the Hebrew is actually a palindrome. It's spelled the same way both directions. You know why God done that? He wants you to understand that this giving is two ways. I'm going to give you about 15 seconds and let that sink in. That word give spelled both ways. No matter whether you read it this way or this way. It's the same thing because God wants you to know that this giving goes two ways. Not only does He give you a new way, you give Him something back. Not only do you get a new way, you give somebody something else back. Not only do they get something, they give something back. That giving is two ways. It's not a one-way street. It's not a one-way conversation. Whereas when we get ready to make New Year's resolutions or whatever, recenter our lives, we get down and tell God everything that we want to do and everything that we want to accomplish. And we say, here it is, Lord. There's what we want. When God's saying, that is not how it works. This giving is two directions, but you've got to wait and align your delights with me. It first goes up, and then I'll give it back. But it goes two ways. The logic there is, stop looking for validation from people. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give back to you a transformed heart. A renewed mind. That says, hey, it may not be perfect where I'm at, but you know what? I'm exactly where God wants me to be. God's allowing me to learn this here. I told Kelly a couple weeks ago, and I got caught up in this. And I'm just going to be personal with you for a minute, and maybe you find yourself in this. But the older I get, the more I just want to be comfortable. Y'all with me? Like, she bought this new living room set, and I put stuff off. I'm a procrastinator. I'm not, you know, people say, and I think it's the valiant thing to say, especially for men. I don't like to start something unless I finish it. I've never felt that way. And she can tell you that. I don't care to start something and walk off and leave it. Our fireplace, we got a great apartment up there, and everybody comes in and goes, man, this is immaculate. Well, you look over there, we ain't got hearthstones. We got the fireplace built, but we don't have hearthstones. Been there over a year. I've just not went and got the hearthstones and put them down. Aggravates her to death. Doesn't bother me one bit, Burner. I walk right by it every day. Kelly said, that's true. That is true. You know why? Because it don't stop my fireplace from working. That fireplace still puts out fire. I don't care how it looks, right? So I'm not one of those people. Like, I'm not big on if I start something, I sort of have to finish it and all these other things, you know. But the fact of the matter is we get lost in so many other things and we lose true north because we want to be comfortable. And my whole idea here the last several months have been, I just want to be comfortable. So you got this new nice living room suit. I hurried up and done the floor outlets in it. Now we reclined by hitting the button. And she was gone with her mom and dad, and I had the lights dimmed, you know, and I bought me a 100-inch TV to sit in front of, and man, I'm sitting there in front of a new recliner with a 100-inch TV, and I send her a picture and say, boy, you better hurry. I just want to be comfortable. But can I tell you, since I made the priority to be comfortable. I've been as uncomfortable as you can be. Because that's the way God works. He'll shake it up. Not just spiritually. He won't let you do that in anything else. I got to go down and see if I got to do jury duty. Like, how more uncomfortable can I be than having to do those things? But the fact of the matter is, when you try to find your comfort and peace in something else other than God's will for your life, you sort of get messed up. And that's what you got to do, is identify those local magnetic draws in your life that keep you from the true north, which is what God wants from you in His Word. So if you got other things, other people in your life that you feel always pulls you from where God wants you to go, the first step in doing what needs to be done is identifying those things so that that voice becomes smaller and smaller to you, and you can listen to the voice of the Lord. Because in this world, you got voices that will try to pull you off center all the time. I remember this little illustration. We used to go to the high school and do prayer club, I think it was, they called it. And we would meet there in a room, I think it was Miss Ward's room at the time, in the corner. And everybody that wanted to do prayer club would come in. I had this illustration with them one time about following the voice of the Lord. And that was when Caleb Ward was here in school. Y'all remember Caleb Ward? Love Caleb to death. He watches this all the time on live stream where he's living now. And I said, that's a great one. So I got Caleb as an illustration. I said, listen, Caleb hears me every Sunday. He knows my voice. Now what we're going to do is blindfold Caleb and put him in the corner, turn him around, and I'm going to go stand in a part of the room here. And what I want you to do is you're going to holler and tell Caleb over here. You're going to try to be as loud as you can and distract him from hearing my voice. And I'm going to try to get him to where I'm at. Those kids loved that. They were screaming at him, and I was going, Caleb, left, left. They were screaming at him. He'd go left, then he'd go right. And I done it to illustrate some things, and I led him right to me. And I said, Caleb was able to shut out the other voices that he was hearing because he knew my voice. If he didn't know my voice, Bernard, he wouldn't know who to follow. But because he knew my voice, he knew exactly where I was. If you need your true north, you've got to know Jesus and know His voice, because His sheep are known of Him and they know His voice. Give him a hand clap of praise. Now listen, you may see that as a challenge, and it is a challenge, but there's a promise there too that says this: if you know the Lord's voice, He can get you through anything. We just got to learn to tune out the other stuff that knocks us off center, because I'm going to tell you something, nobody is a match for the magnetic draw of this world on their own. I don't care who you are, how long you serve the Lord, you're going to get drawn one way or the other and get off course. If you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you, leading you, directing you, guiding you, you're going to get drawn off course. That's given to us as a witness and our identity. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are child of God. It's like the navigator. The Spirit of God, He navigates us through all these things, and He allows us to avoid all these idols and these metals that make this noise, that try to bring us off course. If you've ever done that before, you know what I'm talking about. When you hear other voices and you go to lead that way, and the Holy Spirit will whisper to you and say, no, that's not the right way. That's the Holy Spirit recalibrating you, saying, no, 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 you're getting off course. You need to fix your eyes back on the truth and on Jesus. Fact of the matter is, if we got a navigator, the Spirit of God, which I think we're pretty good in the Pentecostal church on, is having that navigator and the Spirit of God. But I'm going to tell you, if you got a navigator and don't have a map, you're still hurting. You got to have a map. Anybody want to guess what the map is? The Word of God. Listen, I don't care what you feel like the Spirit tells you. If it don't line up with the Word, it ain't the Spirit. I use this illustration all the time, this old illustration. I used to say it a lot when Danny and Pam was here, because she was the piano player. I heard in this other church somewhere long ago, this pastor said, got up one night and said the Spirit of the Lord told him to leave his wife and marry his piano player. Can I see a show of hands that believe that that was the Spirit of the Lord? That's what I thought. You know why we know that's not the Spirit of the Lord? Because it's against what Scripture says. It doesn't do you no good to holler you got a navigator if you don't have a map. And I'm going to tell you something, when it comes down to it, the map trumps it all in my position, because you can manipulate other things in your own heart and it's deceitful. We got to be very careful. God doesn't just give us what we want, but as the Spirit of God leads us and directs us and keeps us centered into the Word of God, He'll give us the desires of His heart. When the Word and the Spirit are in charge, you can stay centered on God and what He wants for your life. But I'm going to tell you something, it's not a one-time event. Me and Dave was talking about this back there, and I'm going to clue you in on how we do the altar service sometimes here and why I do it. We was talking about altar service. He said, I feel like I need to work on that part of what I do. I said, I do too. I said, but I'll be honest with you, a lot of it's on what you're preaching on. I said, if I'm making a call for salvation or a definite deliverance call, I find an altar service pretty easy. But if I get up and challenge somebody to change their life for the next 30 days, an altar call just don't seem as demanding for me. Because I know you can get up here and pray all you want to, but when you walk out, it's up to you in the next 30 days to make that decision, to make that change. You understand what I'm saying? It's not like this spiritual recentering is going to be a one-time thing. I wish it was. I wish I could say, everybody that feels like they're off course or don't know or whatever, you're struggling with the situation, come up here, we're going to pray over you, we're going to wave a magic wand, you can walk out of here fixed. How many of you know it doesn't work like that? That recentering is every day of your life, you get up and you deal with the magnetic voices that pull you off course. And every day of your life, you got to do what Paul said, die to the flesh. Get the Word of God out. Find your true north. Make sure that you got the whole armor of God on. Stop trying to be somebody else. Just be who you are and who God wants you to be. Psalms chapter 37, verse 5, which is the next verse after 4. If you would stand with me one more time. I want you to understand recentering happens time and time and time again. The only way to recenter is to diminish the other voices that you hear, that static, the other magnetic draws that pull against that compass. Spirit of God is there to lead you and direct you and guide you. But He's going to lead you, direct you, and guide you according to the Scripture. The Scripture is given according to God's will and purpose in your life. And this may be why it's harder to grow the church nowadays than it has been. At one time, people didn't have a lot to give up. One time, they'd put a seed in the ground, pray that God would send water so that it could rain and they could feed their family. One time, families was worried about food. Now we got all that. Now we're worried about other things, vacations and all these other things. And there's nothing wrong with all that. But when you've got a life like many of us have, for me to get up and say, listen, don't let that comfortable life and that magnetic draw of all these other things interfere with true north, that's a little harder sell. Like the fellow that came to Jesus and said, what do I got to do to inherit eternal life? So I've kept the commandments from a child. Jesus said, sell all you have, give it to the poor. That was the line. Jesus crossed the line right there. Young man walked away dejected because he couldn't part with that life. Now let me ask you something. If he had a dollar in his pocket and a dollar alone, and Jesus said, get all you had, I'd imagine that guy would have went here. But the more we have, the harder sell it is to say, don't let those things distract you from where God wants you to be. That's a hard sell nowadays. But I'm going to tell you something. just because we changed and better off, God has not changed. He still requires the same thing. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. This map, if you will, in closing, Psalms 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. And when we see that, we got this idea of how God's going to act. But can I tell you, it's not often that God acts the way we think or want Him to act. Here's what we do. We're trying to find our way. We take a map and we look at it and we see distances. Then we got to find the roads, right? You know, like as the crow flies. We was talking about how West Virginia just got full of mountains and this and that. And like you could be in Beckley in no time the way the crow flies. But the way the car rolls, it takes you a while to get to Beckley. You look at that map and everything's flat and you think, well, it's from here to here. But if you get a, is it called a topography map? Shows the mountains and the streams and the crooks and the nannies. Can I tell you that life is like that? So when God says, commit to me and I'll show you the way, I don't want you to think it's a straight line from here to there. There's going to be turns. There's going to be curves. As the old song says, many snares, many toils. There's going to be mountains high, mountains low, valleys to go through. God is not saying it's going to be an easy ride, but He's saying this, up every mountain, through every valley, across every stream, I'll be with you no matter where you go. So the challenge is this. Do we want to commit ourselves and our ways to the Lord and allow that to be true north this morning? Are we willing for the Spirit of God through the Word of God to recenter us? Say, look, it's been sometimes, and I don't mean to be long this morning, but sometimes it's with a sincere heart that we just get lost as a ball in high weeds. Can I tell you, this explorer that got lost and died, it wasn't because he wasn't sincere. I don't think he haphazardly said, let's go this way. Flip a coin. Let's go this way. He thought within his heart, I see what this is saying, but my heart's telling me this way. Can I tell you something? Sincerity is not a replacement for being accurate. And I don't want to bust anybody's bubble, but I've heard people say it 1,000 times. God won't let me believe something that'll hurt me. Honey, the scripture says you can believe a lie and be damned. That's called free. Everybody say it with me. Free will. That don't change when you get saved. You still have free will. You can believe God's leading you here. God's doing this. God's doing that. God's changing this. God's changing that. God wants me to do this. All those. Listen, and I'm not saying sometimes that's not right on the dot. I can tell you, I've been in situations and think, man, where am I going? What am I doing? And God lead me right where I need to be. Sometimes God does that. But don't allow the other things to distract you from what God says you need to do. Are you with me? I'm not telling you the journey isn't great. I'm not telling you the journey isn't always expected. I'm not telling you that if you're in the middle of something, that means you're wrong. I'm telling you this. Learn to tune out everything else except the voice of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, because they'll never lead you wrong. I don't know how to say it any plainer than that. In 2026, it's my prayer that as a congregation, as individuals, and as homes, we don't go by what we feel. We go by what we are revealed out of the Scripture, by the Spirit of God. And He directs our paths in everything that we do. If you can jive with that, even a little bit, say, you know what, that sounds like an okay plan to me for 2026. Could you raise your hands? If you're just saying, look, I want to do what God's called me to do. I want to be where God's wanted me to be. I just want to do what I'm supposed to be doing. Would you raise your eyes? I'll close my eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Nobody looking around. If you'll say, I want to do what God wants me to do in 2026, raise your hands. God, I don't see these hands, but I believe you do. God, I believe everybody in here that's been born again has a true heart for you and has a desire, a true sincerity to be exactly where you want them to be. I don't think people get saved and then just say, I'm going to do my own thing. I think things happen and we drift. We get lost along the way and we have to stop and recenter and say, God, what is it that you want from me? So God, as we take a moment to stop and just say, Lord, recenter us on your word through the Spirit of God as I'm on this journey. Help me to find what it is I need to do, where I need to be. And the very first step in that is realizing and understanding that I've got other magnetic voices that are leading me off path. That are redirecting me. That are making me question this and doubt this. And God, I believe that you can even use those voices through process of elimination. But God, I know this. We have to commit our ways to you and then you'll act. That giving is two ways. If we give ourselves to you, you'll give back to us the perfect spot for us to be in. To be right smack dab in the middle of your will. And how can we be promoted to any higher place than right where you want us to be? God, we worship you. We magnify you.